everyone. My name is Aaron Sikowski. I'm from Rackspace Australia, based out of Sydney. Today is very much an introductory overview of ARM templates. Who's played with the Zero ARM templates? Done battle with them? Yeah, good. Who likes them? Who doesn't like them? Okay, awesome. So what we're going to cover, it's bit of an overview of exactly how ARM templates, what they are, how they work. It's not an advanced course by any means, advanced session, I should say. It basically covers what is an ARM template, a bit of the background of an ARM template, or the Azure Resource Manager, where it came from and where it's grown from. Also, too, I'll give you a bit of an anatomy of what an ARM template looks like, and also the obligatory hello world demo. So, you know, hello, my name is Aaron, whatever, hello world demo, but in an ARM template. Also, building and deploying ARM templates, so how to go about doing, and some of the tools you can use to help you when you do battle with the missing curly brackets and dodgy variable namings and whatnot. Also, a bunch of tips and tricks, and I will demo a complete stack. So I'll go and build a layered stack, and I'll come to that when I'll talk through that when I come to it. So basically building a stack and sort of the way we do it at Rackspace, how we layer them and how we do deployments, and just show you how sort of really easy it is and how you can deploy them and redeploy them. So as I mentioned, I'm from Rackspace Australia. We do a lot of Azure work, in particular with some very large enterprise customers and some very big deployments. I do a session tomorrow, a bit of a plug here, on Azure large-scale deployments for enterprises. So if you can, come along to that. We talk about some of the really big large-scale deployments that we come across and some tips and tricks and recommendations that we've found by doing very large-scale enterprise rollouts of Azure. I'm a certified solution expert in the IT industry over 20 years, so I've been doing this a long time. So I've got a lot of battle scars and been doing this for quite some time. Okay, some history of what ARM templates are. So who remembers the old classic portal? Who liked it? Who didn't like it? So really, where ARM came from is the issue with the old way of doing deployments in Azure, it was very programmatic. So you had to go through and run a lot of PowerShell. There was no real declarative way of saying, I want to deploy this stack. This is what defines my stack. This is how I can deploy it. And it was a very, obviously, it used a technology called Service Manager, which is now deprecated. And really, where it really came from was a better way to deploy stacks in a much better, simpler, and more modular way. You can still use PowerShell. In the old way of doing things, you had to write a lot of PowerShell, and you had to maintain that code base. And the problem that I used to find, if an API changes, you've got to go and refactor your PowerShell to suit that. So that was a real gotcha with some of that. It worked, it was great, but if the underlying API would change, you'd have to go in and change all your PowerShell calls. And the hard thing was, it was very difficult to group resources. So we had no concept of resource grouping. We just had all these loosely coupled resources, not really sort of being able to cling together. And the other thing that was really good about ARM templates, which everyone, you know, breathed a sigh of relief, was the old version, the old classic way of deploying infrastructure was done through XML. So who loves XML? Yeah, but there's always one. So now we have JSON. So I'll show you some of this in the Hello World demo in a sec. The other big benefit with using Azure Resource Manager is you've got tagging. So this is something that's been in AWS for some time, but now we've got tagging. So we use tagging quite a bit in some of the larger deployments. So tagging is very important in the fact that you can tag the resources and you can tag them, and it's great for billing. It's great for being able to group resources together for different cost centers and all of that. So it's a very handy way of keeping resources sort of grouped together in resource groups and tagging them. The other thing, too, there's a few other things here, too, where it came from, is there's no real easy way of securing resources. We've now got role-based access controls. We've got the other one we use quite a lot is resource locks. So what you can do at resource group level or resource level is to lock the resources so people can't accidentally delete them. We actually see that quite a bit, and we've had to get customers out of some deep and dark holes very quickly in that regard. And the other thing, too, is CI/CD was possible, but it was a lot harder. But now you've got declarative ARM templates. You can easily push bits of infrastructure out, and it's all version controlled and whatnot. So for those who don't remember, that's a view of the classic portal. I've removed anything that's incriminating my subscription, but we all remember what that looks like. So anatomy of an arm template. Who's never touched an arm template at all in their life? Was there anyone in here? Okay. Who's familiar with AWS, CloudFormation, any other tools? Okay. Well, this will be very, very familiar to you. So it's a bit early for this type of code, I know. I'm sorry, I apologize in advance, but you know, what do you do? You get the first session of the day. So at its very bare bones, this is a very basic ARM template with nothing in it. And I'll break down each of what the sections are. So you've got a schema, content version, parameters, variables, resources, and outputs. So the schema just describes the version of the template language. Typically, you don't have to touch that one. Content version, you can do versioning editor templates. We've had issues using that. You just stick them as version one and just leave that alone. We actually use source control versioning to control our templates. Parameters are the parameters that are being passed into the template at runtime to basically define the infrastructure and pass in dynamic variables, which brings me to variables. So variables are used for... I'm going to go ahead with a little clicker here so you can see what I'm talking about. Variables are basically at runtime... literally the same as any sort of programming language variable, to evaluate it at runtime to define bits and pieces of your stack. For instance, you've got variables that are concatenated, you've got server names with a concatenated string and whatnot. Resources, obviously, that makes sense. It's a bunch of resources you're going to deploy. So these are the actual bits, the stack you're going to deploy. And the outputs. So a lot of people don't use outputs. Outputs are very handy for debugging. Also, too, when you've got templates, you've got one template relies on another, the output of one template may have to be fed into another. So that's where you can use outputs for some of that. Now, this is the parameter file. I know it's pretty obscene code for this time in the morning. I'm sorry, but... So what this is the other part of the puzzle. So the other one defines what we're building. This is the dynamic parameter file that we're feeding into our infrastructure to define what we're building. So this will dynamically give us our stack or group of resources or whatnot. So the name, so that could be XYZ123, it's just a string, a name. The data type, so you've got values such as string, int, arrays, that sort of thing. So you can pass arrays from the parameter file to an ARM template, and you can do iterations and loops, especially when you've got large amounts of virtual machines you want to deploy. You can do that iteratively and programmatically very, very easily through the ARM template. Default value, so if you don't pass in a value, it defaults back to that value. It's pretty much self-explanatory. Allowed values, so if someone tries to pass an int and it's a string, you can actually catch that. Min value, maximum value, they're pretty self-explanatory. So what's the minimum value, what's the maximum value? It's just a catch, so if you're doing this in a large deployment, it allows you to catch those values. Min length, max length, same sort of thing, and a description. So anyone have any questions on any of that so far? So what we'll do, I'll switch to the demo really quick. Where are we? 8, I think it was. So can anyone not see that? So what we'll do... This is basically a Hello World ARM template. There's nothing really fancy about it. All we're doing is passing in parameters up here. As I said, data type, metadata that describes the parameter you're passing in. The variables. See here, we're doing some magic here with concatenate. So there are a bunch of functions inside ARM templates that allow you to do things like lookups, do string concatenations, do create unique IDs, all that sort of stuff, which is really handy if you're deploying lots and lots of these at scale, because you don't want to have the same virtual machine name across the board. You want to have some sort of unique name or whatnot based on a pattern you've defined. And then obviously outputs down the bottom here. So the outputs basically show the variable up the top there, the output of that concatenated string as a welcome message. I didn't say it was fancy, it's a hello world, but it shows you the concepts of how this thing is put together. We've also got a parameters file. So this is the parameter, basically passing in a value, and I can have multiple of these. Typically, you wouldn't obviously store things like passwords in there, that's a very bad idea, but you can store variables that you want to evaluate at runtime. So when we run this thing, Who's not done deployments with Visual Studio? Who's done, like, how do you guys do ARM template deployments? You just do it through PowerShell? Because this is just another way of doing it. And Visual Studio 2017 has got some extra tooling that can help with a lot of this as well. But anyway, what we can do here is just wait for this to load. Come on, internet. We're all at the mercy of the internet and physics when it comes down to it, aren't we? Right. So create a new resource group, call it demo one. And we put that in, doesn't really matter which region we put it in. Now in here, I can inject, when I go to deploy this through Visual Studio, I can inject variables and this will save it back into the parameters file for me. So if I hit save, and I run this guy now. Show the output window. I'll get that later. So what it's basically doing is a few things. So if I go back to my Azure user interface here, it's created a resource group for me. But because I haven't deployed any resources, it's just deployed an empty resource group. Because things that you deploy in Azure now through the Azure Resource Manager are bound to a resource group. So that's, you know, something to keep in mind. So you can have multiple resource groups and that type of thing. But the interesting thing here is you've got the output. So some output, it says, hello, Ignite User 2017. So that's where the outputs can come in handy. So if you're deploying a large stack of resources, you have a lot of outputs, you can actually see what's been deployed. So it's really handy to help you debug some of these things. So it's, it's basically Hello World ARM template. Pretty straightforward. Just go back to... So moving on... where's the slides here? It's 8, I think, isn't it? There we go. No, 7, 6. I'll get the hang of this eventually. Yeah. Yeah, so building your own templates, basically the rule of thumb is when you're building these guys is, you know, you can start from scratch, but why would you? Because there's a lot of shared repositories out there. We've got our own internal one. There's GitHub. There's a whole bunch of online communities. One thing I highly recommend you have a look at is the Azure Quick Start Gallery. There's a real whole bunch of templates, and they're updated quite regularly. As of yesterday, we had a look, and there's a bunch of ARM templates for managed disks now. So people are keeping up to date. We contribute to it. Anyone can contribute to it. You can do pull requests and whatnot. And it's very it's a very active community. There's some really good tooling in Visual Studio that can help you out with some of this stuff. So there's like, you know, right-click, create a new project, that type of thing, later to get you going. And if you do have any questions, look, seek out some people at the various stands. If you're not familiar with it or you need a question, come and ask either myself or any of the other Microsoft folks around the stands who are into this stuff and get some ask some questions. There's a couple of links down there. Yeah, it's called the Azure Quick Start Template. So I recommend having a look at those. There's a lot of them. And unfortunately, some of them don't always get up to date or kept updated. So you have to, you know, some individual results may vary for some of them. So with the tooling in Visual Studio, what you can do is you can basically create a blank template from the Visual Studio tools and say, look, create a blank template and it'll create a blank resource file for you and away you go. And then within the Visual Studio tools, you can basically go in and create a whole bunch of resources. So here's one I prepared earlier. What's really nice with the Visual Studio tools, if you've got this JSON outline editor here, sorry for the guys over the other side of the screen, I need to do a running leap over there. So for those who want to use, if you've got a large ARM template, this can get very, very big and you've got to do a lot of scrolling. So what you can do is use the JSON Explorer and you can actually click on the individual elements and it'll jump to the section in the ARM template for you. So if you need to do copying and pasting or whatnot or move things around, this is a really good tool, and it's just baked into Visual Studio. So sorry for the guys over this side of the room, but yeah, on the left there, there's the JSON Explorer inside Visual Studio. So we use this quite a lot. So if we've got ARM templates we're trying to merge together. What you can do is you can drag and drop different parts and different parts of the JSON, and it'll help you find errors and whatnot. As I just said, so you've got a bunch of ready-to-go templates. You've got the JSON outline view, so that's just reiterating that. Another really nice tool that we're looking at quite a bit too, which is a nice free tool, is Visual Studio Code. So this is a free tool, and it's cross-platform. So what this allows you to do is basically author ARM templates, also allows you to author and debug PowerShell, and it's cross-platform for Mac, PC, and I think Linux as well. It's actually a really nice tool. It's built on the Electron framework, so it's like a web-based sort of wrapper. So it's updated very, very regularly, and it's a really, really nice tool. The one thing I wish they would add to it is a JSON editor view, like in Visual Studio. So you can click on the individual tree items and then click on it. That would be beautiful. Then you wouldn't really need Visual Studio, really, unless you depends what you want to do. So with ARM templates, what's really interesting about them too is you can deploy them, and if you make an error, you can either tear them down or you can deploy over the top. And I'll show you this in one of the demos, actually. So you go and deploy a virtual machine, you go, oh, crap, I've got the wrong size instance. I can go and redeploy the ARM template over the top. And what it will do, it'll do a differential lookup to say, what are the differences between what's deployed and what's new in the ARM template, and then make changes to my underlying stack. So it'll do the updates for me. It's very, very nice. Big thing with ARM templates too is version control. So, pick your poison, Gits, TFS, whatever you want to do. It can be versioned, and you can do branching, merging, all that sort of stuff. The other thing that's really nice is obviously you can deploy via Visual Studio, but you can also deploy via PowerShell as well. So here's some sample code that will show you how to do that. Everyone see that? Okay, it's pretty bright. So basically, what it's saying is a new resource group deployment to the name, basically the base file name here. Give me a date, time of the deployment. But the main things are the bottom three. So what resource group do I want to deploy to? And it will check if it already exists. The template file, as in the ARM template file, and the parameters file. So that can be fed in dynamically and done through PowerShell. So when I did that deployment for that first demo through Visual Studio, this is basically what it's calling under the covers. So under the covers, it's calling PowerShell, but it's abstracting that for you through Visual Studio. As I showed you in the demo, basically deploying through, you can do this. I mean, if you're doing one-off deployments here and there, you can do this. You're just deploying a bunch of VMs once. There's no harm in doing this. But when you start doing bigger, more automated deployments at scale, this is probably not the way to go. So you need to look at proper CI/CD tools such as VSTS or TeamCity or Jenkins or any of those sort of tools, which, funny enough, now do have ARM template support, especially with Octopus Deploy now. We're using that with a client at the moment. So there's ARM template support built into a lot of these products now that will help you do some of this at very large scale. So we create the resource group, pick the region, edit the parameters. In this particular case, I'm creating a storage account, so standard LRS. Got a suffix, got environment, and I can tweak these parameters as I go. So you've got to think of this as it's literally the old adage of infrastructure as code. I can go in and create all my code through ARM templates and have versions of it checked in, checked out, have multiple people working on it, and I can version my deployments too. So when I'm doing these, I'd recommend using tagging as well. So you see here you've got the environment dropdown. That's really handy if you want to have, dev, test, prod. I want to have different resource groups, or I want to do it via tagging. So I can say, well, this is a dev environment, this is a test environment, this is a prod environment. So you can do that with tagging, and then you can do billing and do billing results and searches on those tags. So you know how to bill the right internal customers. So apologies, it's a bit small, but as I showed you before, this is the output window, very similar to what I showed you with the Hello World demo. But the main thing is the output. So it shows you the status of what's being deployed, and it will show you any errors. And the thing about it too, if you do start deploying these and you come across an error, it's not the end of the world. Go in and it'll tell you what the error is, not always the most verbose sort of logic to go and find it, but it will help you. And then what you can do, make the change and then redeploy it, and it'll just pick up where it left off. So it is incremental. What you can do as well, there's a little trick. If you have a blank ARM template and you'll do a deployment, you can do there's a parameter you can pass to it to say blast the resource group, but don't delete the resource group. And I can't remember the parameter. I think it's not incremental, it's force or something. I have to look it up. There's a way of doing that if you don't want to kill the resource group. But tearing these down, obviously, you delete the resource group, and it'll obviously delete all the resources underneath. So when I've done the deployment, it'll show up in the Azure portal, and it'll give me all the useful information. So I've hidden the subscription ID because it's one of my subscriptions, but it just tells me what everything here. It's got the name, and it's got the tags and everything like that with it. So just to recap what we've covered, there's a hell of a lot of samples out there. GitHub, there's a very, very vibrant online community. The tooling is very, very good. So there's some really great Visual Studio tooling. There's the Visual Studio Code. There's Notepad++. There's Sublime. Pick your poison, basically. But for myself, I like Visual Studio, getting the templates right, and then it's got nice integration with the back-end source control tools. You've got lots of options for deployment. So you've got various tools, third-party tools. You've got the new VSTS 2017. It's got some really nice features for CI/CD pipeline work. So it can handle some of that for you. But I guess the main thing is to start with some of the key templates that are out there and modify them to suit. Don't start from scratch. Look, you can. There's nothing wrong with that, but it'll take you longer. And ARM templates are not exactly the easiest thing to debug when you start missing brackets and whatnot, and commas. Trust me, it'll take you hours. And as I mentioned, it's got the incremental deployment model, so you can deploy, redeploy, and update the assets as you go. Any questions on any of that so far? Yeah.
Does the Azure portal have a web GUI to upload ARM templates?
Yes, it does. It's got I think it's still in preview, but there's like a templates, I don't know what you call it. It's like a template section you can go to and you can upload them. It's okay, but it basically is like a repository you can upload ARM templates to and deploy them from there, but it doesn't allow you to do much beyond that. But it does work. We've used it a bit, but the question was, for those who didn't hear, is there a place in the Azure portal for uploading templates and running them from the Azure portal? And yes, there is. Sorry, yeah? In what way? So the question is there a way to automate or script a...
You manually create your resource, you'll create some resources.
Yep.
Is there a way to right-click somewhere and say, can you generate an ARM template?
Yeah. So the question is, once you've deployed resources, is there a way of creating ARM templates from that? Yes, there is. If you go to the Azure portal and create resources and right-click, you can export it. The caveat with that is not all resources are exportable. Because you've got to remember, too, under the covers, Azure is really just a bunch of APIs. And all ARM is abstracting that into... it's got an engine that sits over the top, and it provides a way of being able to abstract that. So you can do it. Not all resources are exportable. So there's a question over here. Yeah.
So if you use Visual Studio to define a larger environment,
yep.
Let's say you have to make a SharePoint file, yep. It's like 80 servers in a file. Rob's going to have one SharePoint template that you want to define for each server type.
Yeah.
Is there a way within there that
Yeah, good question. That's a very good question. The question is there a way of nesting the deployments, having like different templates for different environments and whatnot? Yes, there is. The way to do something like that is with a linked template. So what that allows you to do is rather than having a bunch of loosely coupled templates, is have one template that sort of links them all. Now, to do that, there's a few tricks. I'm not going to cover that because it's a little bit advanced. The trick with that is to do that, you need to put them into a storage account. It's got to be publicly accessible, well, public via the runtime. So obviously you're not going to have your templates out in the public domain because storage accounts are public, right? So what you could do in that case is make the repository private and put what they call a SAS token on it. And then when you do it at runtime, call that repository with a SAS token for the time that takes to build the environment and then deploy it. But to do what you want to do, I'd look at something like a linked template. So a template that has different parameters for the different environments. You might have, T-shirt sizes is a good one. There's a really good sample on doing T-shirt sizes with ARM templates going around. So small could mean a small SharePoint farm. Medium could be a medium SharePoint farm. And large could be, a large SharePoint farm. But in that, it could have different number of servers, different sorts of SKU sizes on the VMs and everything like that. So there's ways of doing it.
And then the actual variables, so obviously when you go to deploy each server, so if you have three front-end servers, you'll have a template for front-end server. But each server's going to have a unique name,
yeah.
Unique properties, so you can define all that as part of
it. Yeah, you can define that. So what you could do is you could define like a base So yeah, the way we're saying is there a way of defining the different server types inside the ARM template and having it iterate? Yeah, you can do that with looping. There's a thing called copy of inside the ARM template runtime. So what you can do is define one sort of VM and then have it iterate based on the number of items in a parameter you can pass in. So I want three machines, I want it to do three, and it'll just loop and create them for you.
And you can define variable names.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sorry, I'll just get the microphone, sorry, because they're recording it. Sorry, I think I've already answered his question. Yeah, sorry, the question was, is there a way of defining variable names and whatnot? Yeah, you can do that inside the parameters file. Look, a tip for you too, please don't store passwords in any of your parameter files, like clear text, because you put them into a public Git repo, what do you think is going to happen? There are people out there that go actually searching and trawling for passwords inside repositories, so don't store them. My advice is, if you're going to do that, which I'll show you, is use Key Vault. For any passwords, certificates, VM passwords, anything like that, store them in Key Vault. Sorry, there's another question? Yeah, sorry, question here?
Yeah,
we'll get the microphone, sorry.
When you deploy ARM templates, can you also install Azure extensions or third-party software when the VM comes up?
Yes, the virtual machines.
Yeah,
you can install custom extensions. We do that all the time with System Center, with OMS agents, and all of that. So yes, you can.
All right, and that also includes a DSE.
Yeah, DSE. Yeah, okay. If you go to that Azure GitHub repo, the gallery, there's a whole section on building custom VMs with custom extensions. We do this all the time with various extensions and whatnot.
Thanks.
Because you want it to be repeatable, right? So you don't want to do it manually. We don't have to do anything manually. We automate it. It's a lot more work to automate it. But once you've done it, it's done. All right, I might just move on to some tips and tricks. I'm just conscious of the time. So obviously, as I said, ARM, or Azure Resource Manager, is bound to a resource group. And obviously, resources live inside a resource group. And that's bound typically to a region. But the resources inside that resource group don't necessarily have to be in the same region as the resource group. So, example, I could have a resource group in Australia East, and I could have resources in central US, but they're in the same resource group. A resource group is a container. So that's how, basically, if you've got a large environment, you want to group it to a resource group. Also, too, standard storage. A tip for young players, if you provision standard storage and try to upgrade it to premium, can't do it. You've got to redeploy the storage account. So when you're planning some of this out, personally, if you're going to do virtual machines, I would always stick with premium storage. Because premium storage now has the single SLA, so single VM SLA, and it's also managed disks, can take a lot of the new provisioned IOPS and whatnot. The other thing we see a lot of too is keep your SDK and tools up to date. So I know Microsoft releases updates to the PowerShell tools quite often. I think it's once or twice a month. Make sure you keep your tools up to date, because some of the commandlets do change to reflect the new API changes that Microsoft do roll out. So just keep an eye on that. A tool that will save you hours of pain and frustration and won't start a methamphetamine habit is that tool up the top, JSON lint. You get an ARM template with missing brackets and whatnot. You copy and paste that JSON code into JSON lint, and it'll tell you what's missing. So it'll tell you where the brackets are and whatnot. It's a free tool. It's online. And it'll save you a lot of heartache. The other thing too is what you can do is, I think I was talking about the SharePoint, what you can do is layer the template. So you can have deploy the base level storage accounts, deploy the VNets, and you can layer it. So it makes it easier for debugging. The problem when you're using linked templates is it can get quite complicated, and it's quite difficult to debug. And the other one that catches a lot of people out, I'm guilty of this myself, is deploying stuff into the wrong subscription. So make sure you deploy stuff into the right subscription. Otherwise, you put stuff in the wrong client subscription, and I don't get too happy about that. It happens. We do it ourselves, and it's like, whoopsie. So, yeah, make sure you put it into the right subscription. Apologies for this wicked code, but I just wanted to highlight something too, is what you can do is you can deploy ARM templates with PowerShell. So without using a parameter file. So what I'm doing here is I'm dynamically injecting parameters at runtime to the PowerShell commandlet without a parameters file. So I can do that programmatically. So for you DevOps guys in the room, you can do this with PowerShell relatively easily. So I've got a bunch of parameters up there that say storage account, standard LRS, how many accounts do I want? Well, one, because I've got a particular ARM template that can do multiple storage accounts at once. As I said, we do stuff at scale, so we have to be able to do things where we can put in 10 storage accounts and boom, and blow them out very quickly. Obviously, we've got tags in there too, so you see things like environment is test, build date is that, and built by me. And that basically gets, we're still keeping the template file over here, and we're passing in the parameters at runtime. Very, very straightforward. I mean, this is all very well documented on the Microsoft site, but it's a little thing that a lot of people don't realize you can do that. So you can mix and match. So you've got your ARM template, you've got your parameters in a file, but you can also do it at runtime dynamically. So you've got a large PowerShell library of deploying this stuff on the fly. You can do that. Some useful links for you. Visual Studio Code, and that's a given. That's a great tool to have in your arsenal. There's Git extensions is one that's really, really nice as well. So that I'm not a massive Git expert by any means. I know enough to do damage, but a lot of it's command line driven. So Git extensions is like a makes Git friendly for us Windows guys in the room. So I actually quite like it. The other one that's really handy is Storage Explorer. So you can download that, and when you provision storage accounts, you can go in and look at the various storage accounts that you've provisioned and go and poke around them. Probably one of the better ones, though, is the Resource Explorer. So what you can do is you can, I haven't got a demo of that, unfortunately, but what you can do with the Resource Explorer is link it to an Azure subscription, to a tenant, to a subscription, and then drill down to see what's deployed and get look at the API. So for those devs in the room who want to work out how Azure works with certain things, oh, music. That's all right. So what you can do is with Storage Explorer, Resource Explorer, you can go around and poke around the API and actually see how Azure works so you can make the right API calls and all that. But it's very, very handy when you're trying to work out versions of the APIs because Microsoft do version the APIs. So when they do an update to the APIs in the back end, they will change some of the underlying infrastructure without sort of telling you. Quick start templates that you can just do a search for them. There's the best practices guide. So there's a whole MSDN article on the best practice of deploying and building and deploying ARM templates. It's like, and there's heaps of hands-on labs and all of that. So I'd encourage you to go have a look and have a play and have a try that. And there's the ARM authoring guide too. So just to recap a little bit, the resources can be deployed to different regions. So just because I've got a resource group in one region doesn't necessarily mean the resources have to be in that same region as the resource group. Now, the trick is you will find some resources that can't be deployed into Australia East for whatever reason, like App Insights is only, I think, central US. So when you start deploying these in ARM templates, you'll get an error saying, oh, cannot deploy into this region, does not support it. And you'll go, well, what's going on? Is something wrong with my ARM template? No, it's not. It's the location where you're deploying the resources to. They're not supported in that particular region. That catches us out too, so don't feel bad. So the other one is keep your tools up to date. That's quite important. So make sure your PowerShell tools, all your SDKs are up to date. Microsoft do a very good job of keeping all the tools and Visual Studio, all the underlying tooling and frameworks up to date. I recommend keeping those up to date as much as you can. JSON lint, I've mentioned that. And the other one I mentioned before was the template parameter object file where you can deploy ARM templates through PowerShell, dynamic parameters being passed in. So we'll switch to a demo. Let's check on the time. We've got 40 minutes. So we'll switch to the demo. This is what we're going to deploy, basically. And it might look a bit scary, but it's actually not that scary, to be honest. So this is going to be what we call a layered deployment. So what we do in this case is we'll deploy, for instance, we'll deploy the storage account. This is before managed disk, so we're going to use managed disk going forward, but for the purposes of this, we'll create a storage account. We'll create a key vault. We'll create a virtual network. Obviously, the virtual network's an interesting one because that'll define the decider block for the underlying virtual network and all the network security groups. If you come to my session tomorrow, I'll talk about how we do network security groups and virtual networks at scale for customer environments, so how we lock it down, how we deploy very prescriptive network security group rules at the networking layer. So we've got Key Vault, we've got the resource group, we've got the subscription, and this is all layered. So basically I've got an ARM template per part of the stack. And this is where those linked templates could come in. I want to deploy this stack with one button, and it will pull all those templates in, pass the parameters in and just deploy the thing. And you can do it parallel as well, which is really, really nice. Now, I probably won't have time to do the actual virtual machine deployment. I've got one pre-baked because it can take up to 10 minutes, so I'm just conscious of the time. So let's have a look at that. Any questions on that before? Yeah. Sorry, microphone. It's not on?
Yeah. It's on. So when you deploy an IRM template,
yep.
And halfway you say like, oh shit, what I'm doing, I'm pushing out 100 VMs and I want to cancel it. Is there a way to do that? Yeah,
if you go, you can't do it. I haven't found a way of doing it from like PowerShell. You can shut down PowerShell and all that, but unfortunately it's a bit of a transactional atomic model. So you started deploying it, you have to actually go into Azure. If you go to the resource group you're deploying, there's a little status saying deploying.
Okay.
Click on that, and it'll come up saying what's being deployed, and click on events, and then you can go and look at what's being deployed. Say, for instance, a storage account's frozen or whatever it is. Click on it, and you can say stop deployment.
All right.
You can stop it.
Right. So there's a panic button. Right.
There's a panic button. Okay. But look, worst case scenario, you can go, oh, crap, I'll just delete it, restart it, do it again. Unless it's production, right?
Okay, thanks.
when you debug, you do it in production, don't we all, right? Funny story, we had a customer who deleted a storage account in one of their production environments, and they ring us up in a panic, and like, can we get it back? Okay, yeah, maybe, maybe not. And it was a locally LRS storage, so it's only, three copies in a data center. So we rang Microsoft, and even though they were dubious, they could get it back. So they rang us in a real panic. This is a production system. So we rang Microsoft, raised a ticket, and they actually managed to get it back. So there is a window where you can get things restored if you really, really, really need it. I'm not sure what the SLA is for that, but there is one there somewhere that it's got a tombstone period, if you will. Okay, I want to switch to this one. It's 8, isn't it? Right, just conscious of Z time. So what we're going to do here, as I mentioned, we're going to do the layered deployment. So what I'm going to start with is I'm going to build out the storage account. So I'm going to do this in a bit of an interesting way. I'm going to do part of it in pure PowerShell and the rest of it through Visual Studio, just to show you how it can kind of work. So I've got some interesting PowerShell here. Look, not there. So I've got some PowerShell here. What this will do is, well, can everyone see that? I'm going to create a resource group. I'm going to tell it to go Australia Southeast. I'm going to tag the resource group with those tags. And what I'm going to do is deploy the resource group, tag the resource group, but then I'm going to use PowerShell to create me a storage account with parameters that are being passed in dynamically. And I'll show you what this will do now, hopefully, if we have internet. So if I run this, pick my subscription. I can give you guys a code on how to do those pop-ups as well if you really want it, because it makes it so much easier to work out. I've got some code that can tell me which subscriptions belongs to what, and I click on a button and it automatically changes the context for me. So I'll share that code if you really want it. It makes so much easier. So what this is doing, it's going in and creating a resource group for me, Australia Southeast, and you can notice here it's giving me a bunch of info down the bottom here, telling me the status of it. And it's also creating, with tags, what they call a hash table in PowerShell. So what it will do is we'll go and create me the customer name, Ignite demo, the build date in Zulu time, script version, and environment demo. Sorry for the guys over the left here. I need like a little bridge or something. Now hopefully Azure is going to play nice with me today. So what I can show you here, it's already started deploying. So you're asking about if you need to can something. You click on this where it says deploying. I can click on this, and I can go cancel. There's also another undocumented feature I've got to show you in the Azure portal. I don't know if you guys need this one, but what you can do is you can do this. You show customers that, they lose their mind. What do you do, right? Yeah, so what this is doing, it's gone and created a storage account for me. So don't worry about the naming. There's a reason for that funny naming, which I'll cover tomorrow. I won't cover this too much now. This is before the advent of managed disks, so we won't worry about that too much. But if I go to tags, you can see that I've got the tags in here now. So that was create a brand new resource group, deploy the tags, and go and build me a storage account. That's the first part of it done. Let's make sure I stick to my script here so I don't go off. So in here, I go back to my PowerShell, and now you can see the outputs. This is why the outputs are so important, because the outputs of when you run one ARM template in PowerShell or through Visual Studio may be the inputs to another. And there are ways of linking that. So you can do cross lookup using what they call list keys inside the ARM template to go and grab the outputs of one deployment and provide the inputs into another. So it makes it really, really easy to do that. So that's succeeded. So I go onto this guy now, and we have a resource group with a storage account. Nothing too fancy there. But now we'll switch to Visual Studio. Now you notice I've got here, can everyone see that? It's not too small. Yeah.
Is there any way to get a cleaner output?
In PowerShell, yeah, there is. You can do convert. There are what you can do with PowerShell. The beauty of PowerShell is you can use things called piping. Not really, no. I mean, you could modify, because when you deploy the question was, can you modify the output of the ARM template output through in Visual Studio? What you can do is when you create a brand new project in Visual Studio, it goes and builds you this PowerShell here. You could go in and modify that. You could actually go in and modify to change the outputs, grab the outputs for me and format it in a nice table or something if you wanted to. So the next thing we'll do is we'll go and create a Key Vault. Who's not used Key Vault before? Who doesn't know what it is? Okay, so what Key Vault is, think of it as like a password safe in the cloud, but it does a few more things than that. So typically what you use Key Vault for is to store things like passwords, to store SSL keys and whatnot. Now the trick with Key Vault, it's bound to a region. So if I do a Key Vault deployment in Australia Southeast and one in Australia East, I can't share keys. So it's like, as I said, you don't store passwords in your ARM templates, in your parameter files. I've been guilty of doing that myself when I discovered Key Vault, and it's like, it's changed my life. Well, not that much, but you know what I mean. So what we'll do is we'll click on Key Vault. Now here, what we can do is we can change the parameters. And this is all driven by the parameters file. So if I've got a list of choices inside the parameters file, it'll present itself as a drop-down list in the tool. So I can go in and pick the selection based on different things. So for instance, I want to pick standard, I want to pick premium, I want to do deployment, and there's some other tags. So if I run that, it's a pretty quick one to run this one. Hopefully I get through it all. I've already got one deployed, so we'll see how we go. As I said, we're at the mercy of physics and the internet. So this is what I'm saying. What you can do is we can. I guess one thing I'll come back to you. What you can do, I'm doing this stack by stack. I know it looks a little bit clumsy, but I'm just showing you how you can layer it. So what I'm doing is building out. So I built the resource group, I built the storage account, I built the Key Vault. Then I can do the virtual network. Then I can drop the VM into it. So it's a way of building up the stack. Going to take a little bit. Yeah, sorry, what was your question?
I was just wondering
How you launch it. What you do. So the question is, how do you launch this from Visual Studio? Basically go right-click, deploy. And what you do is you pick deploy, and then it'll come up with this. So what I've got is what you've got to do is this will link basically my Visual Studio profile to an Azure subscription. And then what it will allow me to do is to link it up. So what it will do is go and find, okay, what are the resource groups that I have or don't have? And then I can create resource groups from the tool, and it will allow me to go and do that through the tool here. Yes. Yeah, you can switch between them. The question was, can you have multiple subscription? And yes, you can. You can switch between them. So what I'm going to do now is add a secret to it. This is where I add the password. Nothing too exciting there. So what this will do, I built the Key Vault. Now I'm going to add a secret to the Key Vault, which is basically my encrypted password to the Key Vault. So now my virtual machines can now leverage that. What's really nice about this is when I deploy my ARM templates, I can actually tell ARM to go and do a lookup for the passwords inside the key vault at runtime. It'll go look them up based on a key, pull the passwords in at runtime, and I never have to store passwords again in my ARM templates. So that's that one. So now if we go back to the stack, we should have a few more things in there. We've got a key vault. Yeah, mate. Question is, can it be role-based at the resource level? There's not at the resource level yet. I think that's actually coming. The question is, can you lock down is it any resource or just key vault? Yeah, the question is, can you lock down resources at the individual resource level? Kind of. It is coming. We saw something, Scott, if you're in Scott Guthrie's session yesterday, the closed door he's talking about, there are some role-based resource level things that are coming soon. So you can do it at the resource group level, but there's more granular control coming. It is coming. Yeah, because you want to be able to lock down individual resources and whatnot. Yeah, so you might not want everyone to have access to the key vault for whatever reason. Yeah, mate.
Can you have multiple key vaults within your subscription? So you can have one for, say, SharePoint and a separate one for your AD?
Yeah, question is, can you have multiple key vaults? Yeah, you can, because you've got to name them, obviously, differently. You just have to deploy them with different names and it can be in the same resource group. It's like a safe. Think of it as a safe. You put your certificates and passwords into it. How I access the secrets in that safe is via a URL and a name value pair type lookup value. So it's created my secret. So does that answer your question? So now quickly, I'm just conscious of the time. Now, this is where things get interesting. We're going to deploy the virtual network. Now, I'll show you a couple of different things here. So the reason I'm showing you this, it's a little bit somewhat frustrating, this tool, but the reason I'm showing you is how I'm building up the environment stack piece by piece. And I'm changing the template. So what I can do here is I can go to network small, and I can edit the parameters. So that's where I set my CIDR block, the virtual network name, and I've got a DMZ subnet in there. So that looks good. Now, but this time I'm not going to deploy it. I'm going to hit validate. So what validate will do is basically do a dummy deployment against the resource group and validate the ARM templates for any inconsistencies prior to me actually hitting the big red button to deploy it. So if I run that, it'll actually run the PowerShell, but it won't actually deploy it. It'll do it with, I think it's a minus debug parameter, and it won't actually do the final deployment. And it goes, very reassuringly, template is valid.
Would that also pick up on if there was any sort of like overlapping subnets or anything like that as well?
Well, the question is, will it pick up any overlapping subnets? Unfortunately, not. It will only pick up when you actually start deploying the VNet. So when you start deploying the VNet and it goes, you've got clashing subnets, it'll throw an error. But the beautiful thing about that is, if it gets to a point where it can't fully deploy, go in and correct the error and then redeploy it over the top, because it'll only deploy the deltas from that point forward.
Thanks.
No worries. So deploy the virtual network. I won't deploy the virtual machine, just the interest of time, but I've already got a stack that I've got deployed. But I do want to show you something, how I've got a virtual machine that is deployed. I think it's a basic A0 instance. I'll show you how I can change it using ARM to a standard A1 or something like that without having to do anything magical. So I'll show you that. It's good to know this stuff because you go, oh, crap, I've made a mistake. You don't always have to necessarily tear down your whole stack. You can deploy over the top. There's some things you can't do. For instance, you can't rename VNets or things like that. So if you deploy a virtual network and you want to rename it, sorry, we're out of luck. We have asked Microsoft about this and they said no. That's basically what they said. It's very disappointing. Look, there will be cases where you have to tear down some of the infrastructure. You go, look, this is wrong. Look, my view is, if there's something really wrong with what you've deployed, don't try to fix it. Tear it down, redeploy it. It's standard DevOps 101. Don't try to fix something that's broken. We never do. If we find a VM that's busted, we'll chuck it out, deploy a new one. Don't even bother trying to RDP in or do whatever you need to do to fix it. So what this has done now, how are we going for time there? Okay, it's deployed a virtual network for me, and it has deployed a network security group for me. Who's not familiar with network security groups, what they are? Like, it's basically a virtual firewall, effectively. Like, what you can do is put security around a subnet, and you can restrict the traffic going in and out of the subnet. So what I can show you real quick is the network. Now, what's that key in? Hold shift enter. So this is quite a big one. These JSON files can get quite large, and this one's quite involved. But in this, it's really interesting. I thought I'd show you this. What we can do is the network security group. Where are we here? Is this guy. What we're doing here, I'm basically defining my network stack. I've defined a subnet, and I've defined the network security group. So what I'm saying here is I'll deny all traffic except inbound 3389 for RDP. So what I'm saying is I can allow source port range star, not a good idea to do that, because that means the internet can now RDP into my VM. There's nothing on it, but, you know, knock yourselves out. But I can also do this to, outbound, inbound, and all of that. But this can actually really tie you in knots. So if you start doing really, really interesting sort of network security group rules, it can really tie you in knots. The other thing I think Microsoft were talking about is having nested security groups, which we're really scared about because it allows you to have multiple layers of security and God knows what's going to happen. So that is the network side of things. So there's nothing too scary there. Is anyone got any questions about that? Yeah.
In regards with deploying the stacks or whatever, can we do the opposite, like delete a whole stack with a template?
Yeah, the question is, can you delete a stack with a template? And the answer is yes, you can. What you can do is there's a trick whereby you can create like an empty template with no resources in it. Replay that against the resource group, and there's a parameter. I'm just trying to remember what the parameter is, but there's a parameter you can pass into it to tell it to blast the resource group, but not delete the resource group. But for us, just delete the resource group. It's the quickest way. But it's not always fast to delete. You've got a lot of resources in a resource group. It can take some time to deprovision it, and wait a few minutes before you try to reprovision it because you get interesting errors. Because Microsoft in the back end is they're deleting it. But there's a tombstone period whereby they've got to perform a cleanup, particularly with Azure SQL. We see that quite a lot, where you go and deploy Azure SQL, delete it, redeploy it, and it's like, I can't deploy it. It says it's already existing, but it's not there. So just be careful of that one. So what I'll show you is the virtual machine. So I've got here's one I prepared earlier, demo 2 pre-canned. But what I want to show you is this. I've got a virtual machine. Everyone see that, okay? It's not too small. I've got a virtual machine when it decides to load. It's turned off, but it's a basic A0. It's got one core, 0.75 gig of memory. And I'm like, okay, well, I've deployed this. It's too small. So what I can do, go back to my trusty tool and go, where are we? Wait, I don't want to move stuff. That would be bad. Now, I've got a different ARM template here that does the virtual machine side of things. So is everyone following what I'm doing here? I'm basically layering the stack with different ARM templates. But if you're going to do this at scale, you could do link templates. So I have one template, which is the main driver that orchestrates this whole process for me. I'm just showing you this, how I'm building it up. So now if I go to edit parameters here, sorry, I speak too loud. Notice here I've got the machine instance size. So currently it's a basic A0. I want to change that to, let's try standard A1. What could go wrong? So now what it's doing under the covers, it's basically going in and looking at what I've got deployed in that existing resource group, and it's going, well, this is the same, this is the same, this is the same. It'll get to the virtual machine instance size and go, this is different. So it'll deploy, it'll make the changes to the what's deployed and apply that accordingly. So it's actually doing that now. And this should change. Unfortunately, I didn't want to deploy the virtual machines because it can take up to 10 minutes sometimes. So I just thought I'd do a pre-canned one. Notice the instance size now has changed. So remember before it was a basic A0, now it's a standard A1. But the point is, I didn't have to redeploy everything. All I did was make a change to the machine instance size. My stack is still intact, my virtual network is still intact, my resource group is still intact, and all my storage is still intact. The machine instance size is now different. Obviously, when you change the machine sizes, you can, I think you've actually got to reboot them to actually make the changes to the VM once you've made the instance size change. Sorry, was that going to be the question? Yep. Yeah, mate.
If you are using a running VM that you're actually in production and you're making that change, what sort of changes would you risk actually losing content on the machine?
The question is, if you make a change to that running VM, it will shut down the VM and will reprovision it. Depends what you've got. Like, obviously, you wouldn't store things on the D drive if it's a D series VM, because that's ephemeral storage. You'll lose all the storage on that. If you've got an attached storage, it shouldn't affect the storage. It'll just reprovision it, move it to a different stamp inside the Azure data center, and reprovision it. So it should keep all the data. Fingers crossed they check that. we've had cases where we've done things like that. Virtual machines have done some very strange things for whatever reason, so we've actually had to reprovision them from scratch. So for the most part, though, if you're just doing this, what I'm showing you here, it should be fine. Sorry, another question? So does that make sense? Does that cover pretty much no questions on any of that? It's very, very straightforward. But the thing is, let's make sure I've covered everything that I've got here for you guys. Yeah, I think that's it for the demo. Let's go back to the slides. Yeah, so just to recap. So what we deployed here is the virtual network. Actually, I'll go to the other slide. Sorry, cover that off. Yeah, so what we've covered is the layered ARM template, a very simple VM deployment, how the incremental ARM model works. So that's something, if nothing else, take that away. ARM templates are incremental deployment, and you can deploy, redeploy, tear down at will. There's a mix of tools, as I showed the change of the VM size via ARM. And obviously, the other thing too, it's very interesting, inside ARM templates, when you start deploying larger and larger stacks, there's a concept called resource dependencies. So you can have inside the ARM template, there's a function called depends on. So when you deploy an ARM template, you can say storage account can be deployed first, but the VM depends on the storage account, because what that'll mean is the storage account has to be provisioned first, and then the virtual machine depends on that storage account. It's basically a dependency tree inside the ARM template to allow you to make sure that your resources are staggered and deployed in the right order. It's very straightforward. Once you go to the GitHub repo and have a look at some of the more complex scenarios, you'll understand how it works. So obviously, I can't deploy a virtual machine without a storage account. It doesn't really make sense. And I can't deploy a subnet without a virtual network. So, you know, there's dependencies. So this depends on, in that regard, I see we've got a sample of that, actually. Just bear me a sec. I see we've got a sample to show you. Yeah, I'll show you this really quick. I'm getting the hang of this thing, I think. Maybe not. Which one was it? Eight, was it? Keep on the time. Ah, that's right. Show you another time. But yeah, it's basically the depends on, and all it does is a reference to resources that have already been deployed. So if I try to deploy a virtual machine that doesn't have a resource group, a storage account, it'll fail saying there's no storage account supplied. Interesting thing is, if you don't supply it, it'll actually create one for you. So there's some resources, if you don't put in that it depends on, it'll create a virtual network, it'll do it all for you. It makes a best guess. So just be careful that you might find, why have I got two virtual networks where I've specified it? That means you've missed something in your deployment. All right, so just a bit of a recap over the session. So obviously you met me. A bit of history of ARM, a bit of an anatomy of what an ARM template, what makes it up. The Hello World demo, I hope that was useful. There's always got to be a Hello World demo somewhere, and I thought, what the hell, do an ARM template one. how to do building and deploying, you know, a bit of tips and tricks, some of the things that like we see, and I'm sure other guys have seen too. There's a whole bunch of forums, et cetera, out there, what people have seen. And obviously deploying the complete stack. I know it's an interesting sort of demo that shows you, you know, how to deploy the different layers of the stack, but also too how to deploy the redeploy the virtual machine over the top. And with that, we'll take some questions. Yeah, mate. Yep. What I did? The tricky thing is, so the question is, are the layers that I work through, is that up somewhere? Typically what you do, there's a, if you look at those quick start templates, that actually shows you with some of those. So if you're going to deploy, like I did, a very simple VM in that scenario, you kind of got to know the order that you've got to do them in. So typically I usually go like storage account first, and then VNet, and then all that sort of stuff. So you sort of know, when you start doing more and more of it, you understand the dependencies. That's the thing. You need to understand the dependency hierarchy of the deployed resources to make it work. Yeah, mate?
Sorry, just on that, like when you were talking about the links and templates, in your experience, do you recommend having a template that is layered in? Oh, thank you. Sorry, I was just going to say, when you were talking about the linked templates,
yep.
I guess I have a question about which resources to group into each template.
It's a linked template.
And is your recommendation?
Yeah, typically what you would do is you would probably group like resources together. A good example may be the web tier. So you might have a whole bunch of web front ends that you need to group together. That might be a good candidate for a bunch of linked resources. You might have a database tier, so it might be a bunch of VMs. It might have its own particular security requirements. You could group those together. Okay. Or you could group the whole stack together. I'd probably steer away from the whole stack because it can get very, very complicated. The other gotcha with linked templates, which I really hope Microsoft fix in the future, is being able to deploy linked templates off a file share, like a local file share. You need to do it to a storage account. I've asked the ARM template guys about this, and they said, oh, look, we're kind of looking at it. One of the other features I'd really like to see in ARM templates going forward would be the pricing. So I've got an ARM template. I can do a simulated deployment, and I want to see how much it's going to cost me. That would be really nice to see that. I've asked them about that, and they said that's good, because I think Amazon's got something like that. So it'd be good to see what the estimated cost will be to deploy the resources in that resource group like that. So you get an idea, so you can go to your boss and see how much it's going to cost.
Thank you.
No worries. Yep, question at the back.
Are you seeing customers use ARM templates just for the initial deployment of a resource or also for the ongoing management of that resource? So where I'm going with that is that are you seeing people who are comfortable enough to do incremental deployments over the top of production resources?
Yeah, it's a good question because the way, in particular us as Rackspace, the way we do it is we'll build, depending on the level of support they buy with us, we'll build the environment for them, we'll build the ARM templates, the stacks, everything like that based on, you know, our practices and recommendations and whatnot, and then we'll basically give it to the customer and then they can do whatever they like with it. So typically we've got a customer in particular who's taken our ARM templates and they've basically ripped the guts out of them and put them into Team City and Octopus Deploy. So they've got it. It's not wrong what they've done. It's actually really nice what they've done, but that's an example to give you where customers have done that. So we basically create it, give it to the customer, and we've just got to work out how to support it. Yeah, question at the back.
I guess it's subjective. What's your view on when to use ARM templates and when to just do the traditional deployment of Azure resources?
Like through the portal?
Portal or through PowerShell.
The rule of thumb is if you do anything more than once, you should automate it. That's my view. So if I'm doing one-off deployment for a VM, quick and nasty demo, I just want to show something off, I can just do a quick demo, I can just do that through the portal. But if I want to do something a little bit more intelligent, I would use some ARM templates or PowerShell to do it. If it's a simple little VM, one-off type thing, yeah, use the portal. There's no right and wrong answer for that, but for myself, I'm a bit of a code freak. I like to do things automated. So
as an example, you're going to deploy a custom application. You generally do it once every 3-5 years because it's just one of those inherent applications.
Yeah.
In that case, you build it.
Yep.
You're not going to touch it for quite some time. based on business requirements.
Well, see, that's the problem in itself. Because if you go and build that manually, 5 years from now, you go back to fix it, what were those settings again? They're not written down. At least they're in a bunch of ARM templates or parameters. They're recorded somewhere. You've got the parameters, what are the settings? So and what if that application dies? I need to quickly rehydrate that application somewhere else. How do I do that manually? What are the settings? There could be that's why you would automate that. I know it seems a bit pedantic, but you've got to think about worst case scenario, right? If that application craps itself, you want to be able to rehydrate that, spin it up in a different region. That's where you'd have to use automation to do that. Does that help? Does that answer your question?
Partly.
Yeah. Partly. Look, we've got customers who want to deploy stuff manually, and look, that's fine. But we always say to them, I mean, how are you going to manage it, maintain it, and redeploy it later on? So, you know, it's not an easy one to sort, to fix.
For us, the challenge is around doing all the Azure resources is fine. The application on top just does not support high availability or scalability. So there's that challenge and disconnect between delivering what you want to do for an Azure resource and then the application on top. And how do you maintain that application on top?
Yeah, this is one of the things we see a lot. We see a lot of customers coming to us with requirements going, oh, we want to move to the cloud, but by the way, our application doesn't support load balancing. It doesn't support high availability. And my first question is, well, why are you moving to the cloud? What are you hoping to gain? Cost? Because moving from A to B, is still, if you've got a VM moving from here to here, it's still the same VM. I mean, really, when you think about it. Unless you re-architect it or do a lift and shift is great, but you should actually look to do a re-platforming to take advantage of some of the features of the cloud. We get this all the time. Look, I don't really have a great answer for you, really. I think you should, in your case, so you should automate it, because then you've got a record of what you've deployed, and then you've got it all there for you. So just any other questions? I think I've got to finish up. Yep, sorry, one question.
What if an error happens during the middle of deployment? Does it stop at the stage as opposed to AWS kind of roll back those stacks?
So the question is if it stops? Well,
yeah, during the middle of deployment, the error happens, and what happens? Does the deployment stop at the stage?
Yeah, so the question is, if you're halfway through an ARM deployment, doing a deployment in Azure, will it stop? Well, yeah, it will stop. What you can do, usually in that case, it means there's some sort of error. It could be a typo, or you're deploying to the wrong instance size, or there's something wrong in your ARM template.
Is it easy to find a way to stop the...
Yes and no. Depends where you are. Depends on how complex the deployment. So if you could go in and fix that error, you might be able to find it really easily and just redeploy it, and then it should just pick up where you left off, because it's incremental, right?
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Yeah, so just to close out, because I've got like 7 minutes left before the boys up the back get angry and start throwing tomatoes at me. So continue on. Look, there's a lot of resources out there on Channel 9. There's a lot of... Microsoft Virtual Academy is a very, very good resource for learning some of this stuff. And look, you can sign up to Azure with a credit card, like $200 credit, spin some stuff up, have a play. There's an online vibrant community where you can download a lot of really nice samples to get started. And for me, I mean, there's only so much reading one can do. The best way to learn this stuff is to do it. Do it, break stuff, tear it down, redeploy it, and you go, okay, I get how this works now. And once you get it, it's pretty straightforward. It's just when you get more complex stacks, in particular with VMs, with DSC, and custom extensions and whatnot. And the other one is domain join. When you're doing domain join machines and things like that and group policies, you guys will have fun with that one. Because we've got a customer where we deploy a stack for them, they domain join the machines, we lose all access. We can't touch it from that point forward. Happy days. So, any other questions, concerns, comments? Yes. Yeah, the question is, all the stuff I've been doing in Visual Studio, I can run from PowerShell? Yes, I can. So I can do that because ultimately what I'm doing is Visual Studio is front-ending PowerShell for me. And all it's doing is passing the parameters dynamically to that PowerShell script. So, yes, I can do that.
Anyway. Question around best practice in terms of how you install your templates. Do you have one big project with everything for that environment in one, or would you...
Question is, what are the best practices around storing the ARM templates in a repository?
Yeah, and just for like management of your own environment, is it better to have one big project with them all in there, or do you kind of split them all into separate
visual projects? Yeah, look, the way we do it at large scale, in particular for some of our environments, is we typically create, we've got GitHub Enterprise, so it's locked away. I mean, obviously you wouldn't store secret source out in the public domain, that's crazy. What we do is we store it in our own repository, and we typically set up a project per customer. So it could be a repo per project, maybe. That's one way of doing it. So you might have a web stack. It depends on the application, too. So if you've got a really big application, it might just be one repository with multiple templates, or it could be one repository per stack. It really depends on how you do it. You could store it in one repository, and if you're using Git in particular, if you're making changes frequently, check in and commit quite frequently, too, and push frequently. Don't just do one big change, because it makes it very hard to go back and find what's been changed. Yep, up the back.
Just in response to that one, what we've done is we kind of do it. What we do is we kind of do it a little bit more unique to the scenario. So if we're doing just a website, a web app,
yep,
we'll just keep the ARM stuff in a folder, specifically in that repos folder, or in that repo. So you'll have folders for the HTML and static content, and then you'll have folders for the ARM templates.
Yep.
And then we'll use VSTS to do an incremental deployment to, you know, if we're updating the tags or, you know, redeploying to another sandbox or something like that, we'll grab the template and the params from there, deploy it, and then deploy the code on top of that.
You're using VSTS for that? Or?
Yep.
Okay.
But we some of our stuff we might be cutting over to Octopus, so
yeah,
get back to you on how good Octopus is.
Yeah, we're actually working with a couple of customers that are using Octopus. I think it's version 3, I think they're up to now, version 3 or 4, something like that. And there's some really nice integration with that. Look, it's a little bit of work to get it set up, but it's actually, I really like it. It's really nice. And they're using Team City as well, because for this customer they're doing is they do check-ins to a Git repo, then they do a pull via Team City, create a new Git package inside Team City, and then they use Octopus to create a release based on that new Git package and push it out to the different environments that they need. And it's all driven by our parameters. So the beautiful thing about the way they do it is they never have to open up the Azure portal ever to do it. It's all completely automated. So I noticed some really nice tooling in VSTS we're actually looking at for ourselves to go and deploy these stacks at scale. Because unfortunately, we do a little bit manually, because the ones we do are very much one-off. We deploy an environment and that's it. But if you have to do tear down, redeploy over and over again, that's where you need the tooling to do it. What is it? It's like a release management tool, like a framework that works with .NET and Windows type applications, and but it's got ARM integration. It's typically a dev release management tool, but it works with ARM templates as well. That's a new feature that they've baked into it. They are Aussie based. They're Brisbane based actually too. Yeah, I know the founder. I used to work with him. He's a good guy, Paul Stovall. There is a free tier, and then there's like I think an enterprise tier and whatnot. But yeah, it's a good tool. The problem with doing some of these tools, though, and these third-party automation type features is that there can be a bit of work to get set up. But once you've got them, it just pays for itself.
It's like a continuous integration.
Yeah, CI/CD pipeline stuff, yeah. I didn't really cover that much because this is very much basic getting started. I should maybe do another one maybe next year or whatever and do a session on more deep dive, more detailed, bigger sort of deployments and do to take it to the next level. But I know there's some other talks around where there is some CI/CD tooling that takes this to the next level. Other questions? So I'm going to show you this slide, apparently. This is the, if you do the evaluation for my session, you may win a pilot's pass to drive a drone around the car park and attack the seagulls. So you can, I'm sure the Brisbane City Council are going to love us flying drones around the car park. So, yeah, look, if you've got any questions, come and see me. I'm not really going to hang around the speaker lounge so much. I've got to man the booth, but I'm down in the Rackspace booth. If you've got any questions you think about after the session, come and grab me, and I'm happy to have a chat with you, and we can talk some more. My email address there is aaron.sikowski@rackspace.com. If you've got any questions, you don't want to talk to me face-to-face, shoot me an email. I've got business cards as well if you want them, and have a chat. Thanks for coming.